This podcast was made possible by a sponsorship from AveXis, a clinical stage gene therapy company. The following content was not developed by AveXis.
Welcome to the SMA News Today podcast, episode 40. I'm your host, Kevin Schaefer. Joining us today is Kelly Cusack. Kelly and I met at this year's Cure SMA conference in Anaheim, California. She is from New Jersey and is currently studying journalism at a local community college there, and she has SMA type 2. Kelly, thanks for joining us today.
Hi, Kevin. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Really looking forward to this. So before we get started, I did want to make a quick note to listeners out there. So because August is SMA Awareness Month, we're actually not going to do a roundtable discussion this month because I'm really trying to interview as many people in the SMA community as possible and tell a bunch of stories. So we're doing instead two interviews this month. So you already listened to the one with Jason Birch a couple weeks ago, and now Kelly's is today. And I hope all of you are following our main website and our Instagram page because we currently have the 31 Days of SMA initiative going on. And what that is just a place where a bunch of people from the SMA community are writing posts for us every day and sharing their stories, writing about different topics. And it's a really cool initiative. So I hope you all check that out. But yeah, so we're just doing two interviews. Michael and I will be back next month for another roundtable discussion, but just wanted to put that discussion out there. So before we get started, if everyone could please listen to a brief word from our sponsor.
Are you interested in understanding gene therapy? ExploreGeneTherapy.com has helpful information about gene therapy, including its history and how it is being investigated for the treatment of genetic diseases. Visit www.exploregenetherapy.com.
All right. Well, Kelly, to get started, so usually how I start these episodes is just to ask you a little bit about your backstory. And so I want to ask you first, how old were you when you were diagnosed with SMA? And then just what was it like for you growing up with SMA, with a disability? And this, just feel free to share as much or as little as you want.
So, I mean, obviously I don't remember too much, but from what my parents told me, I was diagnosed, I think, at around age 2, I would say. Like every SMA person that I've ever spoken to, you know, they weren't reaching normal milestones, and everyone was like, what's going on? What's happening? So I went to a doctor. I took a special test, I don't know what it's called, and they just said, oh, by the way, you have SMA. And so I started, learning about, my parents started learning about it and just getting more into it. And I like I said, I don't remember too much, but it was just really hard in the beginning. My parents always said to me that I would be hospitalized maybe like every week, every month. So yeah, that's pretty much it.
Sure, sure. And the diagnosis stage is always the hardest, but and I did want to ask too, do you have any siblings or are you an only child?
No, just me, myself, and I.
Nice, nice. Very cool.
Yeah.
Well then from there on, so, you know, after your diagnosis, and what was it like for you just kind of growing up in school, and what were some of the challenges, and or maybe, you know, not just like, what was it like for you?
School, oh God, okay. So it was always a balance of school and being in the hospital, if that makes sense.
Sure.
It was just, I remember like fourth grade, maybe to like middle school, it would be maybe every couple of months I would be in the hospital or obviously, you know, go into a doctor's appointment. And it was just really hard to balance everything. And I'm grateful now that I have a lot of great people in my life, but just during that time, you know, especially school was hard because, you know, finding different aids or, not being able to get the accessibility that I needed, unfortunately, was definitely a big issue too.
Sure, sure. Well, and on that note, you mentioned AIDS. So did you have, like, multiple throughout your time in school, or did you kind of have, like, one that stuck with you for a while?
So, I would say maybe, like, fourth grade to about sixth, I had the same AIDS, and then it just went south. So I had to find someone else, and as I'm sure for anyone else with SMA, it's definitely a balancing act, I would say, of finding the right person that you click with and that doesn't belittle you and just, you know, understands that you're smarter and you just need help physically, not like, you know.
Right, right. No, I'm glad you brought that up, because we've had other people, both columnists and then other people on the podcast talk about that, of like, you know, because we have a physical disability, people assume that there's a mental component to it as well, and there's not, you know, so that's always a struggle. And on that note of school too, you study journalism now, did you have any interests or hobbies that led you into whether it was like getting involved in clubs or anything like that? What was that like for you, like extracurriculars, anything like that?
I don't know if there was ever a certain, like, oh, yeah, this is it, this is what I want to do with my life moment, per se, in school. I think I just always loved writing and English and just being able to say what I needed to say without feeling like I was in this bubble or, like, that I had all these eyes on me, feeling like I was so discriminated, I guess you could say. So, but once I got into high school, I had a lot of really great teachers that just pushed me and said, yeah, you know, if this is what you want to do with your life, you can do it. And I was like, wow, I can really, like, make a career out of this and figure out, you know, I can talk to people who will listen to me and understand, you know, so.
Absolutely. And, on that note, too, so, like, you know, transition to high school and then kind of developing your interests. So you're in school, in college now. What has that transition been like in terms of going from high school to community college? And just what are some of the positive outcomes, some of the challenges? Just feel free to talk about that.
You know, I don't think transition for anyone, anywhere is easy, but especially with a disability, it's hard, and I'm grateful that my campus, especially being a community college, had a disability person there to help me figure everything out. And I struggled with finding an aide and everything, but my mom is actually, I know a lot of people be like, oh, your mom, but no, my mom is helping me out right now. We're going to school together, and it's really, it's awesome, and I'm just, college is just so, I can't, like, it's so awesome. It's helped me feel less discriminated and just, like, myself. As far as challenges besides what I've said, I don't know. I mean, I don't think there have been too many, but it always, for me, goes back and forth. It kind of depends, but overall, you know, accessibility, everything, it's thankfully been really, really good, so.
That's really cool. Yeah, and just curious, like, that's great. The accessibility is good. How big is your campus? Like, is it one of those, like, I mean, is it larger community college, or is it smaller and kind of easier to navigate?
So, opposed to regular campuses where you have to go from, like, building to building, it's all kind of within walking distance. Like, they're all together, which is really good, and everything's kind of flat level, so it's easy to drive onto. And a lot of my classes are inside and usually upstairs, which is really good, so I don't have to, you know, roll to another building. They're all just in one building pretty much, which is really good, so.
That's really cool, yeah. Yeah, I was gonna say, was that one of your kind of determining factors when we were looking into schools, like, were you trying to find somewhere more close to home, or did you think about moving away? What was that kind of process like of when you were choosing a school, you know, when you were, you know, junior, senior, high school and looking into schools?
to be honest, when I was deciding about colleges, probably like sophomore, junior year, I was hospitalized with an infection, so I couldn't really think about it, and I was just like, I know I want to go here, it's close, I want to see what I can do, and then move on, and I know definitely, if I can, after this, you know, go somewhere that has more, what's the word I want to say, more to do with journalism, more help me with a career, and, you know, just somewhere, I didn't give it really a second thought, because I thought, it's close, it's nearby, like, I'm right by home, if I need anything, especially because, you know, God forbid I needed to be hospitalized, like, it was right there, that was one of my factors, so.
Sure. Yeah, no, that's great, and, I was gonna say, I mean, I commuted from home from college as well, so it's always interesting hearing the stories about that, like, on this podcast and on our main site and everything, because it's like, some people I talk to, they want to move as far away from home as possible, and then I was not like that as much. I'm good with, like, I can still get the full college experience and be right next to home. I didn't have a problem with that either, so, that's really cool, and I'm glad it's going really well for you. And I forgot. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, I always thought I would want to move away, but once I got there, I was like, I'm meant to be here and just experience it right now, and then maybe I can move on. But I don't think then I was really ready to take any of it on. So.
Sure. Absolutely. Well, and I forgot to mention this in the intro, but we were talking right before the recording that, so you recently started a blog, and that ties very much into, like you said, your interest in journalism and writing. So could you tell listeners about this blog and, you know, how you got it started and kind of what you're trying to do with it?
I love it so much. I just started maybe like 2-3 months ago. I got inspired by the SMA community, especially... Shout out, Realtor Rapunzel, she's my favorite,
yeah.
And I think her whole message of being okay with yourself, and especially with, you know, love your genes and everything, it just made me want to be more raw and honest about this disease and not really, like, break down that barrier between, oh, I'm not normal, to, you know what, I'm me, and that's okay, so... A lot of my posts are about, like the one I did after, it was a few weeks ago, I did one after I read Chamberlain's book, there was one chapter talking about a girl with SMA who decided to, you know, not live anymore, and how all the journalists were like, oh yeah, go her, and I was just so angry, I had to write, I was like, I'm a human being, like, I should be able to make that decision. You don't know what it's like to live my life. So, just stuff like that I'm really passionate about. If you want to find it, it's called forthewildwarrior.wordpress. I think it's .com or .org. But yeah, if you type in For the Wild Warrior, you'll find it.
That's really cool, yeah. Well, it's funny you mentioned that, because, about Wheelchair Rapunzel, because... for our listeners out there, that was one of the first episodes I did, was with Alex, who, you know, that's her Instagram name, is Wheelchair Rapunzel, and, yeah, that was a great conversation, and, I've enjoyed getting to know her since then, so, that's really cool, and just curious, like, the name, so you said For the Wild Warrior, like, is there, what's kind of the meaning behind that name, or, like, how did you come upon it?
So, I had one of my, professors at college, I was telling her that I wanted to write more and get myself more out there. And she's like, okay, why don't you blog? And I said, oh, okay. You know, my friend Alex does it. So she's like, oh, let's come up with a name. We were talking about it. And she's like, hey, why don't you pick between these two names? And one of them was For the Wild Warrior. And I was like, oh, that's cool because I'm struggling. But I'm writing a book called Warrior, and the title is basically about how, you know, you're a warrior, to me, if you get up in the morning and you want to, like, live your life and just, like, loving the things that are so small in your life, because as someone with SMA, you know, it's easy to get caught up in simple, easy things, but sometimes simple things are hard for me, so it's just, you know, I love talking about things like that.
Sure, sure, that's great, and oh, I wish you best luck on your book. That's great.
Yeah, I'm a little bit of a procrastinator. It's my favorite thing to just share, and you know what? When I read books like Shane's, I know I have to get the message out there and just share and just, I don't know, I just love it so much.
That's great. That's great. Well, and on that note, too, of, like, talking about your writing and school and everything, can you walk us through, like, a typical day for you, like, a day of the week? Like, what's that look like for you in terms of managing care and then going to school, writing, all of that?
So, I don't go every day. I'm off for the summer. I go back in September. But when I did go, I just recently took 4 classes, which was really overwhelming, but what I would do was, I think I had English in the morning, and that was my favorite, obviously, and then I had effective speaking, which I think that was really one of my points where I'm like, yeah, I need to talk more and get my message out there and just, you know, really talk to other people and be more involved with the community more. And then after that class, I think I had psychology, which I love. I'm very passionate about. A lot of my SMA friends do that too, like, just love learning about psychology. And, you know, us being wallflowers, just love learning about the human mind and all that. So I forget what I had after that. But yeah, I haven't, like, my writing schedule, it depends, to be honest, but sometimes I just get an idea and I'm like, oh, I should write that down. But it goes back and forth, and I just, oh my gosh, I just love it so much. I don't really have a schedule, but, you know, I'm writing and I'm doing what I love, so.
That's great. That's great.
Yeah.
And with school, too, did you do a mix of, like, online and in-person classes, or all
yeah.
in-person? Okay, cool.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially winter, because winter.
Oh, yeah, that's just, yeah. Would you mind talking about that for a minute, too? Because I know that struggle all too well, as well. But.
Oh, my gosh. So, winters here in Jersey are not so fun. I cannot wait to move just for that, but snow is awful here. Like, I live in a condo, so the snow, I have a ramp, and snow on my ramp and my chair, oh boy, it's really bad. The winters, we've had it get into the teens a lot, and that's not fun. But thankfully, I haven't been, knock on wood, haven't been sick in a long time, but the winters can get really brutal.
Sure, sure. Well, and I know for me, even, like, when I was in school, and even when it didn't snow or anything, if it would be too cold, it would be hard for me to drive, because my hand would freeze up so quickly. And yeah, that's always yeah, for sure.
I have to put on, like, so many layers just to get out there, yeah.
Right, right. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Well, cool. Well, thank you for sharing that. That's great. And Kelly, just shifting gears a little bit, I did want to ask you about just, like, SMA treatments and kind of, like, where you are at that range. So if you could talk about a little bit about, you know, are you pursuing Spinraza or maybe another treatment, or where are you in that stage?
So I definitely want to try Spinraza, but I don't know if it's a definite for me with all the treatment centers and everything. So if I don't pursue that, I heard that, I don't know exactly when, but I heard that there'll be an oral drug coming out, I think at the end of the year. My mom talked to someone at the conference, and they were like, yeah, we're not gonna have an oral drug, And I think from what I heard from people at the conference, I think it'll be a lot easier than getting the injection in the side of your back and just be like, oh, I can take it anywhere. So.
Sure. Yeah, no, the one you're referring to, it's called Risdiplam, and yeah, we've been talking about it on the podcast and on our main site as well, but yeah, it's, of course, it's not definite as far as when it'll come out, you know, that's, we can only speculate on that, but yeah, we do know it's in the works, and a lot of other treatments, that's why it is, that's what I was something I'm going to ask you too, like, you know, especially for you and me who have, like, you know, grown up, becoming into adults with SMA, like, what does it mean to you for there to be not just one treatment out there, but another one approved and another one possibly on the way?
You know, I'm sure a lot of young adults and families can relate to me when I say this, that when I was growing up, and I was growing up, I don't know if a lot of people remember, but we were growing up during the families of SMA days when no one would ever really talk about the disease, or like there are no other people around to form a community, and now it's Cure SMA, and we just have so many amazing people that do walking bowls and all these great fundraisers, and now we've raised enough money to go to the FDA and everything to get these two drugs, and it's not a cure, but it's something to just say I'm might be getting somewhat stronger. I won't be like the Hulk, but hey, I'm getting better, and I can do things somewhat more independently. I can help myself, and I never imagined that I would live, honestly, to see this day where we have like two drugs and maybe even a third one on the way. It's just so insane.
Absolutely, and great Hulk reference, by the way. I may or may not have made a gamma radiation reference in my first column about Spinraza after my first injection, so absolutely, I welcome those. But thank you. I think that's a great perspective. And well, on that note too, like you're talking about the SMA conferences. So you mentioned you were there when it was still families of SMA back in the day. Yeah. So yeah. Another veteran here. Yeah, I feel like that's great, because usually a lot of people I've had on the show, it was like, you know, they only started going to conferences recently, but you and I, you know, we've been going since we were kids. So can you talk about that too, like, you know, maybe like how the conference has evolved, or just kind of your general experiences there?
So I don't know if anyone remembers this one, but Wednesday, it was like 2010. Maybe I went to the one in Boston, and from what I remember, they didn't have a lot of resources. There wasn't too many people there. It was very scattered, and for me personally, I was like, I don't want to talk to anybody. I don't want to, you know, I don't want to admit that I have this disease and everything that goes with it. I was just like in between hospitals and everything at that point. So now, when I went this year, I was like, I was going in with the mindset of, okay, I'm ready. I'm going to meet incredible people from the community. And we have so many more resources. And it's just, I'm so proud of how far we've come as a community, of what we've done, and how we're global. And just, I'm so happy that we have these conferences now. I mean, I was talking to someone at the conference, and they were like, this is the biggest conference we've ever had, especially with adults, and I'm so proud of that. Like, I almost cried. I'm so happy. I mean, yes, there's a lot of us with this disease, but we're all coming together, and we're helping, and oh my gosh.
No, I totally understand what you mean. I mean, like, you know, back in the 90s, you know, Cure SMA, which back then, like you said, it was called Families of SMA, it was maybe 300 people total, and then this year we had 2,500 and, like, 180 adults, so, and I think that just speaks to the SMA community as a whole, you know, like, it's growing, and we're becoming more connected, and part of that has to do with, you know, advancements in research, but also just, you know, it's just great to have those connections and be able to, you know, share experiences. And yeah, that's great. So.
And what makes me happy is, for me personally, like I was saying, getting involved with the community, seeing other like-minded people. I don't know about you, but whenever I get together with people like us, it just makes me feel so much more empowered and just like, you know, these people are doing all these things, I can do these things, and I'm just so proud of us. Like, we're doing so far.
No, we really have, and it's more exciting things to come in the future, so that's really cool. Yeah. Cool. Well, Kelly, I was, you know, thank you for sharing your story. I think this has been great. Before we wrap up, though, this is something I always ask guests is, do you have any advice out for maybe listeners out there who have SMA or people in the SMA community or whoever may be listening?
So to anyone listening, I know it's hard, but don't give up on your dreams, even if you feel like, you know, especially with this disease, you know, it's hard and all these things. I think you should really try to fight for what you want, especially with accessibility or anything with a disability. You shouldn't give up and know that you're fighting for the right reasons and that it's okay to fight for these things and be an advocate for yourself and just really try to get yourself out there.
Absolutely. I think that's great advice. And awesome. Well, Kelly, thanks again for coming on today and sharing your story. Is there anything else you'd like to say before we close out?
Thank you guys girls for listening. I'm so honored that Kevin invited me and now we can talk, and I'm so happy to be here.
Well, glad to have you. Absolutely. And well, for our listeners out there, just as a reminder, you can find Kelly on her blog. And Kelly, can you repeat the name of your blog for one more time? We'll put it in the link as well, but just
okay,
so people...
Okay, so it's forthewildwarrior .wordpress.com, I believe.
Yeah, it's so .wordpress.com. Yeah.
And then if you want to follow my Instagram, it's just KELLIELYNNE99.
That's great. Awesome. Well, thanks again, Kelly. We listeners, definitely go check out her blog and follow her on Instagram as well. And for more stories like this, you can subscribe to the SMA News Today podcast if you haven't already. You can also connect with me and others at SMA News Today directly on our forums. And be sure to follow our main website for everything going on. We'll be covering more news about treatments and everything else in the near future. And so, and please be sure to check out 31 Days of SMA as well. So, well, everyone, thanks for listening, and we will see you next time. I'm your host, Kevin Schaefer. Take care.
The information in our flash briefings and podcast are provided for informational and educational purposes only. Be sure to tune in daily to SMA News Today for the latest news and perspectives regarding the disease. All of our podcast and flash briefings can be found on our website at www.smanewstoday.com. You can also find our podcast and flash briefings on SoundCloud, Spotify, and iTunes. And be sure to follow us on our Instagram and Facebook page as well. For SMA News Today, I'm Michael Morale, Multichannel Content Director.